We did the question of majority rules, and what we've been doing what we did last week was the sugya and daf chav tes and daf lamed, which discusses two things. Number one, three things. How do you formulate a psak din? Which sounds like a technicality, but according to the Gemara, is a formal issue which reflects a substantive question. In other words, you write, Justice Reuven and Justice Shimon, said this, and Justice Levy disagreed and was overruled. Or do you just write Zakai or Chayev? Or do you write, my favorite, Midivrayim Mizdake Poni? From the proceedings, this is what emerged, namely the following Tzak, implying that, it may not have been unanimous. The details are also not important. The end result of the process is what is crucial here. That's one issue. Second issue is the issue dealt with in the Mishnah. And it's very closely connected, of course, or it's really a variation on this. Are we transparent? Do we reveal which judge voted in which direction? Or is that a problem of Lo Teilech Rachil B'Amecha? That's the Mishnah on Chav Tes Amid Aleph. And the Gemara seems to imply that this isn't just a straight-out question about Rechilus, but that it depends on how you understand the inner workings of Bezdin. And that if the inner workings of Bezdin are that they work on the basis of a consensus of a process that produces a certain result, so then it's Rechilus should be announcing the individual Dayanim's vote, because that's gratuitous and it's not even legally what happened. It's what happened on a certain level, but it is irrelevant and in some respects imprecise. And therefore it constitutes a Telech Rechil B'Mech. It's really a very important idea, the interface, in a way, between the Lashon Hara or Rechilus and the substance, right? We do find that sometimes you can violate Rechilus and Lashon Hara even if everything you're telling is absolutely true and precise. But the point is that when something is kind of on the borderline, meaning there's a good reason to reveal it and there's not such a good reason to reveal it, right? On the one hand, the transparency or maybe revealing, the way that, certain Dayanim think, what their methodology is. I mean, there could be good reasons, to reveal. At the same time, it's also a grist for the mill. It's kind of definitely promotes gossip and can engender unhappy feelings. So basically what the Gemara is saying here, seems to be saying here, is that it depends on whether or not it's halakhically accurate and precise. The third issue, so how do we announce a psak din? Do we reveal who voted in which direction? And of course the third issue, which is the most intriguing one of all, and that is a judicial malpractice. Right? If a mistake was made, a toast, b'shikol hadas, as opposed to Dvar Mishnah, and the result is that the psak stands, but there is some liability on behalf of the Dayanim who made an unacceptable methodological or procedural or decision-making type of error. It doesn't mean that they're 1,000% wrong, because otherwise the din would be chozer. But it's not an acceptable psak. That in itself is a fascinating idea, right? In other words, a toast, b'shikol hadas, is not something which is 1,000% wrong. It's not an error in the absolute sense, but it is an error given the nature of how law in the halacha proceeds. You don't go back to 100 years ago or 500 years ago and say, "Oh, the machlokas tanaim, so el velu divrei elokim chai." Right? Since then, we figured out ways of paskening and moving forward. There's been a consensus. At a certain point, things even become toast b'dvar mishnah. That's what's particularly fascinating. For example, somebody were to paskin like Beis Shammai in areas where we paskin. Thank you. Do you have the extra one? Because I appreciate the numbers, but if somebody needs it,
no, we have plenty.
We have plenty.
I just made.
Okay. 20. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you again. So it's even a toast b'dvar mishnah. I think I mentioned last week. Even what what was not a toz b'dvar mishnah can in time become a toz b'dvar mishnah, and that's part of the, you know, the forward march of halacha as a system. If you had a machlokas in Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, as we'll see later today, hopefully, or next week, but, you know, I happen to have it here for a totally different reason, but the last entry on today's sheet is the famous Gemara in Eruv in Daf Yud Gimel on the base, where the Gemara says, Amar Abba Amar Shmuel, line number 29, on page 4, Shalosh Shanim Nechuku Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. For 3 years, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argued, Halalo Omer Halacha Kimoseinu, Halalo Omer Malacha Kimoseinu. Each one claiming that the halakha was in accordance with his view. Now, obviously, that's we know who Shammai and Hillel were, right? And we know who their schools were. Very prominent people. The fact that they could argue for 3 years shows you that they were pretty evenly matched, right? Anyways, the Gemara says that Yatza Bas Kovi Amra, a heavenly voice, emerged and said, "Elu velu divrei Elokim chayim." Right? These are both legitimate views. But then, what's more importantly is to say, "Bahalacha kibei sila." Right? So that's a question in its own right. So obviously, in its time, you know, when these arguments were raging, you know, it was totally legitimate for people to be taking different, picking and choosing. Again, the Gemara also says in Eruv and in Yavamos, you don't pick and choose based on convenience. You don't pick and choose to be machmir. If you do that, you're always to be machmir, you're a fool. You don't pick and choose to be mekel. If you do that, you're always then you're a Rasha. Right? Better to be a fool than to be a Rasha, but better to be neither a fool nor a Rasha. So you really should be trying to, follow, a Selach HaRav, or to figure out in each case what is the most compelling psak, if you're in a position to do that. But either way, in its time, Hillel and Shammai, and Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were very legitimate positions. But at a certain point, the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, b'makom Beis Hillel, ain't a Mishnah. And, if somebody today were to say, I'm a Beis Shammai enthusiast, and, I'm Toveya, the Kavod, Beis Shammai, so I'm going to paskin all Shammais, that wouldn't be Elevel Divrelikim Chayim. And if Dayanim did it, it would be today a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, not a Tos B'Shikol Adas, obviously. As I said, the Rishonim already said that Psakim of the Gonim that had been accepted for many years are no longer a Tos even B'Dvar Mishnah, B'Shikol Adas, they're a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah. And we say that about many Psakim too. That's part of it. It's a fascinating thing. It's part of how you can kind of chart the evolution of halacha. Right? Not the revolution in halacha, but the evolution of halacha. In other words, chazi ma'amadavar, it's a process. We still respect other views, as the Rav used to say. No one ever thought that you can't make a Birkas HaTorah when you study Shitas Beis Shammai, because it is Chafzah Shel Torah, or what the Netziv in his Hakdama to the Shiltas calls Or Torah, meaning in terms of Limud HaTorah and as Dvar Hashem, it retains, especially the logical material. What we say is the Netziv is an interesting chiluk. Netziv says Amoni v'lo Moavis, Amoni v'lo Moamonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis. He says, in the end of the day, at least for now, that's factual. So he says, I don't know whether, learning the other Shita, is still Ora Torah. Not sure the Rav would have said that. But when it comes to B'shach B'cha Uv Kumecha, where there's a debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, what that really means, right? Does it refer to posture? Does it refer to time? Is it, personal time? Or is it objective time? Is it that time of the day? Or when you happen to get up and how subjective or objective it is? Those are like fundamental arguments and ideas. So they're not right or wrong. Maybe there are echoes of the other views. Anyway, I don't want to get involved too deeply in this. Either way, what the Gemara says is that if there's a toast, b'shikol hadah, if there's a toast, b'dvar mishnah, then a din Torah is kozer. Meaning we overturn the psak, because it's just totally wrong. It's blatantly, flagrantly, egregiously wrong, and therefore the psak doesn't stand. However, in a situation where it's not a toast with Dvar Mishnah, but it's a toast with Shikol Hadas, which means no one paskins like that shita. Okay, but it's not yet a toast with Dvar Mishnah. But you know, no trained posek should paskin that way, right? So that's called the toast with Shikol Hadas. So then there's malpractice liability. And what the Gemara discusses on Lamed Amud Aleph, which we read, was what happens if you have two judges voting one way, and they overrule the third judge, and then it turns out that the two are in violation, they were toeb b'shikol hadas, and the third got it right. So what happens? So the Gemara had two interesting discussions. One is, will the third dayan have to pay the liability, since he's part of the team, even though he got it right? That was the Gemara's Hava Mina. And then the Gemara said, that's ridiculous. You just can't do that. It's not fair. What do you want him to do? Right? He couldn't scream louder or argue, you know, more persuasively. He did the best he could. How can you charge him? So the Gemara concludes that we're not going to charge the Dayan who was right, you know, for liability. The Chiddush isn't the Maskana. The Chiddush is the Hava Mina. Okay? Then the Gemara says, but what about, then now we're faced with the following question. Should the two remaining dayanim, who we are charging, should they each pay 50%, or do they each pay a third, and then the other fellow loses a third? So the Gemara says that is linked to the question of how you announce a psak din. Do you say medivrei nezakei ploni? Do you say zakai? Or do you mention Reuven voted this way, Shimon voted that way, and Levi voted that way? Meaning, so getting back to our problem, I don't want to discuss last week's shir, but just that's where we were, kind of. So basically, the Gemara was saying was that the bigger issue here is the issue we've been discussing for a few weeks, and that is, how does a Beis Din operate? Does a Beis Din operate on the basis of the majority vote of individual dayanim? So basically, if there are three dayanim, then the winning, you know, the victors in the psak are two, and the third is overridden, and that's how we look at it. Why do you need three dayanim? You should have two dayanim. You need three because you need a margin of victory of two. But basically, two is really are the ones who are being decisive here. Right? In which case, that's going to lead us to announce the psak in a certain way. That's not going to be a violation of rechilus. Moreover, that's going to dictate some of these malpractice things. Or do we say that really the Din Torah is accomplished by all three? And it's the consensus of the whole, which is determined by a row, by a rubo kikulo of that whole. And that's really what's happening. The only way the Gemara could have a Havamina, that the Dayan Ashlishi, who was overridden and who was right, would end up having to pay, even though he did what he wanted from him, is because he's part of the team. And that still may be true. Now, when the Gemara wanted to explain, if you just look here in Lamed Amud Aleph for one more minute, when the Gemara wanted to explain here, it's Lamed Amud Aleph. This is the Gemara that we were learning. I'll just read it very quickly. The Gemara says, "Shnayim Omrim Zakai Mechtav Hechi Kasli." This is the Gemara I was just discussing. How do you write the Psak Din? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zakai. You just say Zakai. Doesn't imply any argument. Why? It's not trying to mislead. Probably the argument is irrelevant. Right? What's important is the result that emerged from all of them. Reish Lakish Amar Ploni Ploni Mizakin Ploni Nechayev. That implies that we are recording the actual votes of two versus one. And Rabbi Lazar midivrayem nizdake ploni, which, as I say, is kind of the middle view, right? What emerged from everything is a psak of zakai. So the Gemara said, "By benayu, ik benayu lishlumei iu manta dadayim." The Gemara originally thought the nafkamina, and this is a great example of what we're doing every day that we're learning, or every week that we're learning, right? Which is we're discussing issues. And we're trying to figure out what is the conceptual underpinning of those issues. So the issue here is, how do you write a psak din? What's the proper legal language? But if that were just a formality, then it wouldn't imply you know, important nafkaminas about the liability of mistaken judges. Right, so obviously what's really going on here, underlying, is a fascinating, consistent argument about how we look at the unit of Bezdin. Right? So the Gemara says maybe the nafkamina is whether he, the third fellow who got overridden, but who turns out to have been right all along, does he have to pay or not? According to the ones that look at the Dayanim as individuals, you can't charge him because as an individual he was on the right side. On the other hand, if we look at it as a unit, so these are his teammates, right? If they don't move forward, you know, if they fail, then he fails because he's part of their team, right? So the Gemara says, can we really say this? Let him say to them, let him say to them, listen, guys, I'm not going to pay. If you would listen to me, you wouldn't be paying either. Right? What more do you want me to do? Elika benayu. So then the Gemara is looking for another mafkamina. Lishlume inhu manta didei. Do they have to pay his portion? Namely, do each one of them pay 50%? There are three of them, right? But two of them voted on the winning side, which for them ended up being a losing proposition because they were wrong and now they have to pay liability. So do they also pay his third, which means they pay a third each, and then they each pay a sixth, which means basically, to make it simple, they pay 50% each, right? Lamanda mar zakai mishalmi. Lamanda mar ploni ploni mizakin ploni ploni mechaibin lo mishalmi. So the Gemara says, Lamanda mar zakai mishalmi. The Gemara says, no, this also doesn't work so well. What, they should, it makes sense ever that they should pay that third. But let them turn to him and say, Ilav at bahadan lohava salik dina midi, you shouldn't have sat with us. By sitting with us, you take a certain level of responsibility. Now, there are two ways to read this line in the Gemara. One is that what the Gemara is saying is in its, you know, narrowest meaning, meaning that in Ochanami, he is not part of the, he's not part of the loss, and therefore he shouldn't be charged. However, you know, by virtue of the fact that he suited up with them, he teamed up with them, whatever the right word is, that in itself, he's being charged for that bad judgment. Or implicitly, he enabled them to be a din, to be involved in this din Torah. And as such, he has a measure of contributory responsibility. Not that he pays, but sufficient that they say, listen, we needed three people. He's one of the third. We couldn't have done it without him. Therefore, we're not liable more than two-thirds. Or is this the Gemara's way of saying the more conceptual point that we've been saying all along, which is, it may be true that he voted against, and it may be true that we can't charge him, but it's also true that there were three Dayanim, and he was one of the three Dayanim. So it's not that, if he hadn't joined us, we wouldn't have been able to proceed, and therefore there's an element of responsibility. What we're really saying is that, you know, when you take the view that we're a unit, there are still two ways you can take that. You could say we're a unit, and as such, each and every one of us is part of the result. Maybe each and every one of us is totally part of the result. We'll get to that in a second. Or you can say that each and every, all three of us as together are a unit, and therefore there's no one of us that is more than a third. In which case we should be paying two-thirds and not a third. If you take the second view, right, then it's not a technical point. It goes back to this question of how a Bezdin works. There are no individuals. Right, all there is the unit. And if it's all the unit, then you always have to divide the pie in three ways, no matter what. Yeah.
I don't understand the case here.
Okay.
I assume this is a Bezdin bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have two balei din, one's asking money from the other.
Correct.
And the judges, they judge falsely, they awarded the money. Why isn't there a clawback here? Why must the judges pay?
What do you mean a clawback? Because the din is chal. Because it's not a toast bidvar mishnah.
Get it back from the person who...
No. If it was a toast bidvar mishnah, which means it's an egregious error and a clear wrong psak from every point of view, then we would, as you say, claw it back. But it's not a toast bidvar mishnah. It's a toast b'shikol adas. which means that the Baldavar who won the case says it isn't wrong and they paskind. Now, if they made a mistake in the Mishnah, like a Mishnah mistake, like they didn't know facts, basic halachic facts that are not in dispute, then we would say Choser Hadin, like you're saying. That's a different, but Tos Bishikol Hadas is a mistake, it's a judicial error. But it's not the kind of error which we can penalize the other Baldin for, because it's still a view. It's just not a view that procedurally is satisfactory. That the halakha has an in-between status, that's what's so fascinating here. Which means that you can be shy of being absolutely wrong, and you can still be paskening improperly. That's important to know in the nuances of halachic life. There's a way to paskin, there are rules of psak, and even if you're not 1,000% wrong on the result, if you are not careful about those rules, you're still liable. That's a toast, but if you want to see it inside, just for a second.
The Zadin universally accepted that they made a mistake.
Sorry?
The Zadin universally accepted that they made a mistake, and that's why...
Well, I'm trying to show that two types of mistakes.
So then why don't you say, I'm also Chaver Olorai?
No.
Why can you take money from the Dayanim?
I don't understand. The Dayanim made a professional mistake.
Nope.
Because they are trained not only to be able to discern, when something is completely wrong, but even within the possibility of answers, there are acceptable answers, or there are good psakim, and there are bad psakim.
So then I agree with
the... Well, you can agree all you want. but your agreement is, in this case, not just a toast b'shikol hadas, but the Gemara. I'll show you the Gemara. What I'm trying to show you is that the halacha, this is a totally logical idea, by the way. I mean, there are levels of error. If I say to you that, you make a mathematical error, right? That's an egregious mistake. It's a toast b'dvar Mishnah. There's nothing to talk about, and that's unacceptable. However, when it comes to judgment, and when it comes to judicial practice and procedure, there are all sorts of much more subtle issues. For example, how to weigh precedents. Okay? Now, weighing precedents is not an issue, it doesn't demonstrate something's totally wrong. It's a shikol hadas in how to assess the history of how other judges have ruled, which, unless you're very arrogant, or unless the judges who have ruled previously are incompetent and disqualified, is surely a significant, if not an absolutely binding issue. For example, in other words, we'll go back, to other times. A psak of Reb Moshe Feinstein, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agrees, and Rav Yashiv agrees, there are some much lesser poskim, right, who say differently. Now, the objective evidence in the sugyas is a matter of judgment and assessment, right? So I can't say to you, it would be wrong for me to say to you that, the other psak is 100% wrong in the same way that the number 3 is not equal to the number 4, right? But any judge who's been properly, any posek who's been properly trained, right, unless he has some other evidence or argument or whatever, on the basis of precedent, he's not going to throw out Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Reb Yashiv, Reb Adi Yosef, and go for some other very nice, you understand what I'm saying? If you want to see it, it's a fascinating thing. And by the way, there are a lot of issues in every generation revolve around these things. To take a look at Vav Amud Aleph just for 1 second. Another Gemara, which I hope we'll get to in the next couple of weeks. The Gemara says, Eis Veif, look at five lines down. I'm giving you the local Gemara. The real Gemara is in the fourth parak. where the Gemara discusses Tos B'Shik Adah. If you want to see one of the biggest, most complicated simanim in Shulchan Aruch Hoshem Mishpat, it's on this topic. Simen Chafei. Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, Tos B'Shik Adah. You can just imagine how fertile, you know, this ground is. I'll just give you a little bit of a taste. Meaning, what is a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah and a Tos B'Shik Adah today? Right? That's what I meant by the Gaonim or by the Mishnah, Beis Shammai. I mean, that has changed over the millennia of having Psak Halacha. Right? But the idea that there are procedures and certain, the weight of certain factors are at a certain point, Tos, B'Shikol Adas, even if they're not Tos, B'Dvar Mishnah, is a very important idea. It's not, anything doesn't go as long as you are not sure it's wrong. That's not correct. And there's still a difference between things being wrong and things just being unlikely or unacceptable. But, yeah, so let me just read the line of the Gemara for a moment. But, yeah, did you want to see?
Yeah. I want to get back to the case.
Okay.
Reuven lost, they had to give $100 to Shimon.
Yeah.
Now we find out it's all wrong.
No. Not all wrong.
It's wrong.
Well, it's wrong on Shikol Adas.
Shikol Adas.
But not on Dvar Mishnah.
So what happens? Now the Dayanim have to give the $100 to Reuven.
Right, because Shimon is saying...
You're still sitting with $100, which you shouldn't have gotten.
Not really, because Shimon will tell you, listen, I didn't take...
He lost the case when he shouldn't have it, and the guy gets $100 yet?
No. But remember, it wasn't a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah. There was a basis for the Psak. So the error is a judicial error. It's not Shimon's fault. Shimon didn't steal any money, and he's not sitting on stolen money. That's exactly the point. We don't know that the Psak was wrong objectively. We know that it is wrong because the judges procedurally and methodologically should have come to a different conclusion. Should have come to a different conclusion is not the same as saying that it's wrong. That's exactly the point. Look at the Gemara for 1 second. Esve Rab Abba L'Rab Avo. This is five lines down on Vav Amud Aleph. This is the short version. Okay? You'll see it says that Baba Kama... L'kamon lamed gimel lamed aleph is the biggest sugya. Anyways, okay. Donis adin, right? That's a din Torah in Dine Mamanis. Zika sachai v'chiva sazakai. He made a mistake. But I mean, we'll see in a moment. In the Shikol Adas sense, not in the absolute sense. He awarded the din to the wrong person. Timei satar tira satame. So this is what the Gemara says. Masha asui, asui. Meaning, the psak stands. Umishalem bibeso, but the judge is liable. That's what you're objecting to. Now wait. So the Gemara says, Hachi b'mayaskina, de kiblu alayu. So the Gemara says, Hachi amay mishalem bibeso. The Gemara says, the omale dain talan din Torah. Fine. Omale or safra lar baba, listen. De ta b'may. What's the mistake here? That's what you're all asking, right? Ilema d'ta bidvar mishnah. If he made a mistake, bidvar mishnah, look at Rashi. She mishnah miforeshes she ta'aba. Right? But what I'm trying to tell you is that as time goes on, you know, in the history of Psak Halacha, you know, that list of ta bidvar mishnah obviously expands a little bit, right? Other things become under that rubric too. But let's say he doesn't know the Mishnah. He doesn't know an explicit Mishnah. That's unacceptable ignorance, right? And the point is, A, it's unacceptable ignorance. More to the point is, it's really an absolute error. Okay? V'ha'omar av sheshes, omar av ami, tal b'dvar Mishnah, chozer. Then the din is chozer, and Shimon doesn't get to keep the $100. Ela... The Tob is Shikol Adas. He made a mistake in Shikol Adas. What is a mistake in Shikol Adas? Hechadami, b'Shikol Adas. Amra Papa Kagon, Tre Tanoi, Tre Amaroi, the Pligi Adadi. There's a machlokes Tanoim or Amaroim. Right? The kind of thing that we might say Elu Velu Divar Elokim Chaim about still. Right? Velo Yitmar Hilchasa Lokimar Velo Kimar. And we don't have an absolute 1,000% that it's a Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, that we know for sure who the halacha is according to. the sugyan, the alma, aliba, the chad, minayu, but the weight of evidence is unquestionably in one direction over the other. The azal ihu, the avad ki'idich, and nonetheless he ignores that weight, or the weight of precedent, or the weight of support, as the case may be, right? And he goes in the other direction. As a judge, we hold him to a higher standard. When they want to assess a Supreme candidates for the Supreme Court, right? So what do they do? Or for any court, for that matter. Or you want to assess somebody for law school, or for a job, or whatever. What do? Right? You examine his body of work. We'll take the Supreme Court. That's just easier. Right? You look at his psakim. Now, you're going to only reject him if he made egregious errors, which no one else would? No, we're looking to see his discernment, his methodology, his consistency, right? Now, that's on the shufra, the shufra. You know, we want, only elite judges on our Supreme Court, right? But if you're looking in the other direction, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about, listen, this is not a psak which is clearly wrong, but there are huge questions. This is how you paskin. It's like, when you could do this, we do the same thing in halacha too. No, this is how you paskin. It's not necessarily wrong. Maybe he came out with the right psak, but there were holes in his methodology. Maybe he came to the wrong psak, or psak which is not necessarily wrong, but that's not what he should have come out with consistently. Yeah.
You see, it's a little counterintuitive what you're saying.
Ooh.
For a small mistake, for a big mistake.
Yeah.
He's immune.
No.
He doesn't have to pay anything.
No. You're missing a bigger point.
Because I've been closer.
Yeah. So there's no loss.
I understand, but
there's no liability.
But the system.
What? I don't understand.
But the system is.
It's not a penalty. Well, it's a damages.
I assure you, that's the way the dying looks at.
No. No. What you did? You just made another. You made a toast to Rav Mishnah just now. Another one. If it's a toast to Dvar Mishnah, what happens?
The dying is immune.
No, don't say the dying is immune. There are no. The dying is immune from what?
From paying anything.
From damages or from punishment?
From anything. I spoke for damages.
Well, he's not immune from damages. There are no damages.
Well, it's rejected.
Why is there no damages?
Because
it's closer. Where are the damages? These aren't penalties. You're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at it narrowly. In other words, Reuven, take Rabbi Arbisfeld's case. Reuven won $100 from Shimon. If it's Chozer Adin, Shimon gets his $100 back. Why should you be penalizing the judges? You may not give them a good mark on their record, but it's not there are no damages. It's only when the din is Kayam, so there are damages. Because Reuven says, listen, thank you very much, Dayanim. And it's not wrong, it's just not right. So I don't have to give it back. So Shimon is out $100, and the Dayanim need to make him whole. That's damages. But if it's Chozer Hadin, unless you're out for blood, that's why I asked you, do you want damages or do you want a penalty? Do you want damages or a penalty?
I don't think it makes a difference. To the Dayan, he's got the money.
No.
Damages, we're talking about damages to the victim. Who's a victim?
The Bali Din.
The Bali Din don't have a loss in this case. The Din is Chozer. So why should the Dayan be paying? That's not a Pula. There's no damages for him to pay.
I hear what you're saying.
Right? So if you want to say that there's an irony, then I agree there's an irony.
Okay.
But it's a very understandable irony when you understand it in terms of damages. Anyways, Tos B'Shikol Hadas is a very fascinating and a very... the reason you're all having trouble with it is for good reason. Don't mistake me. Meaning it's a very subtle... Because we still say about many psakim, Eilveilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Right? And we don't, not everything is, meaning if you have a chiddush from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach or Moshe Feinstein, and you don't always line people up, we do say Kimli Kedas Yachid. Right? So there are rules, You know, at what point, and we don't always know there are gray areas in all this, right? Sometimes that isn't the psak I would have made, but I wouldn't say it's a toast b'shikol adas either. There's toast b'dvar mishnah, there's toast b'shikol adas, and there are things beyond that as well. But that's what it is. Tre tanoim, let's see, and Rashi doesn't, the sugya de alma, look at Rashi. The sugya de alma, hiluch dina kechad minayu, v'azal iu v'avad ki'idah hilkoch dine lo hadar. The din is not chozer. The kivin de lo itmar hilkosa lo kamar v'lo kamar. Hai baldin de nokat lo boy shlume. What do you want from Reuven? He was awarded $100. It was his lucky day. He got the right judge. But it wasn't a mistake. Right? The amalei pasakta li ledinoi. Not standing on ceremony. He's saying, this is a psak. It's not a wrong psak. Miu iu boy shlume. Keeping the sugya the alma keidach, but the weight of the evidence, it's still not a good. We are holding the judges to a standard which says you're not only liable when you're wrong in terms of the psak, you're liable when it's inexcusable, right, that you came to this conclusion. Inexcusable methodologically, right, is different than being actually wrong in the psak.
Who judges the judge?
I think Shikala does.
Who judges?
So obviously, this has to be assessed in another court. I mean, probably.
And would Tfisa help in a case of Shiko Hadas? Where they
it's not an issue of Tfisa. Tfisa. There's no safek.
They can't pay. They can't pay.
Oh, we'll get to what happens if you can't pay in a second. Yeah.
I think in Shikala Das, you can have Rav Moshe and you can have El Yashiv lined up, but whenever you have dissenting or distinguishing opinions, one can say, yes, that's what Rav Moshe said, but here the facts are a little different.
Well, that's a factor too.
So that's usually the way it works. No,
if that's compelling, then it's not this case.
Yeah, but it could be Shikala Daz.
So all you're saying
are de minimis.
So you know what you're saying is absolutely true, and it goes to the question of how are there many gray areas in determining what is Shikala Daz? Yes, one of them is since the circumstances are slightly different. Whether that slight difference in circumstance ends up being, you know, weighty, you know, in the assessment of the factors. Of course, that's another part. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where there's clarity, you know, that there is. I'm just quoting from the Gemara, right? What does she call it? Trei Tanai, Trei Amaroi, Depligi Adadi, Lo Itmar Hilchasa, Lo Kamar, Velo Kamar, but Sugin Di Alma, Aliba, Dechad Minayu. When we say Sugin Di Alma, Aliba, Dechad Minayu, it already is taking into consideration the factors that you're talking about. Meaning, and even, either it's exactly the same case, or it's not palatable to think that the nuanced differences are sufficient that it changes the picture. Now, if they did, then that would be a very good argument. Then that wouldn't be toast b'shikol hadas. Okay. Anyways, how did we get on to all this? It's a very fascinating topic. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and beyond, they're always arguing about different types of cases. You know, what's moving on to the list of Dvar Mishnah? What remains Shikala Das and all sorts of factors and considerations, right, of like the ones that you're all bringing up, of what is Shikala Das.
Are we going to get to the point where it explains who makes the determination of where the error holds?
It's clearly that is determined by other judges in a case.
Yeah, but specifically covered in the Gemara.
Well, I don't think it's said so explicitly. I mean, okay. It's clear. I mean, this is because it is clearly what's happening is that the party, in other words, who lost the case, is screaming and kind of appealing, I guess.
But it would just go to a Besdin on the same level.
I think so.
Three,
yeah, yeah,
another three
yeah. Another, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But can I just ask one question about the morning Erevin? What do they do with Imashkichim Babasco and...
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get. That's not our topic now. Yeah. Rishonim all asked that question, but that's not for now.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's going to be for what I'm going to use it for either, but no, I'm happy to talk about that. It's a very interesting topic, but we don't want to get too far. Okay. What did the Gemara say? Why don't you pay the extra... Why should they not have to pay the extra third? Because they turn to the other fellow and they say, without you, we wouldn't be here either. Right? And as I said before, there are two ways to look at that. One is, it's really true on a kind of mechanical level. Namely, if you didn't sit down with them and implicitly, I guess, endorse their competence, and because he agreed to dayan with them, so, we wouldn't all be here. So in some respect, his involvement, is a contributory factor. Not contributory enough that he should pay, but contributory enough that they shouldn't have to pay fully, right? Or is this another way of saying, it could be you voted against, but this is Reb Chaim's Ruba Kekulo type of Bezdin, and therefore, it doesn't matter who voted how. In the end of the day, we're a unit. And if we're a unit, then maybe our liability gets divided up, by the big number. So if there were three of us, then each one of us is only a third liable as an individual, because the three of us as a unit are maybe, if that's what they're saying. So what I wanted to say last time, but I couldn't find it, is this Rush. The Rush obviously understood the Gemara in very narrow terms, the first way, but because the Rush came up with two ingenious scenarios, right, which isolate these two factors. That's also good law, right? Good law. Good legal thinking. So look at the Rush. Page one. First piece. It's Perek Dalet. I think it's Simen Hay. Barmina Nami Perek Zaborer. By the way, where is it in the end? I was looking for it on Daf Lamed, which is in Zaborer, right? Really, it's on Lamed Gimel in the Sugya of Tos B'Shikol Adas. Okay, that's the main Sugya, the topic we were just talking about. Barmina Nami Perek Zaborer. Michtav hechi kasvinan, v'miskimu ki achas, v'to mishalshin b'neihem. If they all agreed to the psak, right, then there's no problem, usually, right? Because you just split up the pie in three ways, and each one has to pay a third of the liability. V'gamer dina betrei, basar trei minayu. But if the psak was based on a majority of two, v'to, and they made a mistake, mishalmi trei, Tlisoi, they paskening like the simple reading of this Gemara, the simple maskan of the Gemara. Namely, they'll pay, the two of them will pay each a third. The idik tlosa mafsid baldin kidafrishis. And the other third, the guy really loses a third. Right? Sad. Kidafrishis la'el. The inu lo mishalmi manta didei. They're not going to pay his third. Right? The Amri, because they're going to say, Ilav at Bahadan, if you hadn't been with us, Lav Svalik Dina. So then the Rush adds the following two interesting cases. The Ihabu Arbaf Bechamisha. Let's say instead of sitting down as a bezin of three, they chose to band together as a bezin of four or five. Right? You don't need to, but they did. The Gamar Dina Betlasa. And then they argued. And three out of the five voted in the majority. Right? The ta'u. And they made a toast. B'shikol adas. Says the Rush. Mistaber. It's logical. Why did he add the word mistaber? Because there's no evidence in the Gemara for this. This is his legal understanding and therefore his extrapolation. Right? That's what's so great about all this. The hanach mishalmi kulo. Then the three will pay the full amount. The lomotzi lemeimar ilavatun lohavasolig dina bedidon. They can't turn around and say, "Listen, if you hadn't sat with us, we couldn't have been a bezdin." So, in some sense, you're a contributor by sitting with us and trusting us and implicitly recognizing us. At minimum, there's some element of not complicity, but let's say co-responsibility, at least on the negative side. That's not true if there are five. right? Because the three who won the case could have done the case on their own too. Now, if you interpret the other way, what I call the Reb Chaim way, which is there are five dayanim here, there aren't five dayanim, there's a bezdin, you know, and it's a unit. There are no individuals. There's a bezdin, the rubo kikulo of the bezdin paskin, and of course, we're still not going to say that the two who paskin correctly are going to be liable, because the argument which was, what more did you want us to do? You know, we threw every argument we could at them, and they just, you know, we couldn't win the argument. That still stands, right? But on the other hand, can the other one say, we're a five-man bezdin, and therefore no one of us as an individual is responsible for more than a fifth liability? That still makes sense, right? Similarly, the shlosha danim, as adam bal korcha, okay, fine. Similarly, b'cheinami, b'tlasa, the gamardina betray. Let's say you had a three-man bezdin, and it was two against one. Well, that's the case of the Gemara. What's new? V'chad mehani trei mumcha. One of the two of the majority is a mumcha. What's the big deal? A mumcha, in theory, could be dan yichidi. Mumcha l'rabim could be dan yichidi. Remember that? We had that on Hei Omed Aleph, Gimel Omed Aleph, right? So the Rosh says, in my opinion, in that case, Mishalmi, both of them will pay together. Now, this is a little tricky. They'll pay 100%, right? Hani trei kula, right? The matzidin lemigra b'hani trei, because you don't need all three. They can't turn to him and say, "If you hadn't sat with us, there wouldn't have been a dintor." Not true. The kibin the chad minayim mumcha matzid
the meidan. Does he lose his status as mumcha for the next case?
No. I mean, you know, we're very, on the one hand, you know, we have very high standards. But I think we, you know, we can be a little bit, you know, flexible and forgiving. Everybody can have a bad day, you know, or a bad psak, even an inexcusable one. I don't think he loses his status. It's a legitimate question, though. One second, I want to ask one question before your question, or maybe this is what you wanted to ask.
By having a partial payment, not a full payment,
yeah,
doesn't that reveal who decided which way? You're telling the Bali Din who decided where.
I don't know whether that's necessary.
Only two out of three are paid. You're showing how the judgment works.
Well, I guess first,
they pay cash.
It's very possible. I think you could say two things. Number one, I'm sure it's not so difficult to find a way, you know, for the payments to pay cash. Exactly. That's number one. Number two, remember that it's conceivable that when they made a mistake, we do reveal. It's maybe only in the case where there's no mistake that we don't reveal. That's also possible. I'm not sure. I think it's a good question. I thought you were going to ask me a different question. This isn't the question I wanted to ask. In the second case of the rush, right, I tried to be careful in the language.
Why should the non-mumcha pay?
Oh, more. So there are two possibilities. Remember, the language, I tried to be very careful. I didn't say each one pays 50%. I said between the two of them, they should pay 100%. So in the Perush on the Rush, in the, I think, the Pula Charifta on the back, so he quotes two views. One view is, well, between both of them, you know, they could sit, and therefore, and they're the ones who judged, and they judged as, you know, as a group, and therefore each one pays 50%. Or, since the whole argument here is really that the Yochid Mumche could have judged by himself, that shouldn't really affect his compatriot, I mean the second guy who voted with him. So maybe the breakdown should be that he pays one third, right? And the Mumche pays two thirds.
Maybe it should be 100 and 0.
What?
Why not 100 and 0?
No. Because he... Why should he pay less? He would have paid a third anyway. In all cases, he pays a third. And he's not, you know... you know, he's not beyond liability. The only question is he going to pay more because the other guy's a mumcha? Because mi bein shnehem, right, whatever? So that's an interesting question. Okay, so another interesting question is as follows. Let's say... Or why... The Xos asks the following question. I'm sorry, do you have a question? Oh, sure? Sure? Maybe I was too rough on you before. I know you can take it. That's right. What? You have to deal with real Dayanim, you say. Yeah. I mean, all those, you know, Toast but Bar Mishnas that I was throwing out, just a little humor. the Ksos raises the following question. In Bava Kamma, we have a sugya, so I think I mentioned a little bit last week, but we didn't have a chance. In you know, these are really interesting questions, obviously. You have multiple factors, multiple participants in inflicting damage. Right? And the question is, whenever you have that, there are certain models, you know, that come to mind. Right? If there are multiple factors in inflicting model and inflicting damage, so in theory you could say, well, on a certain level, each one of them does the whole thing. That could be one scenario. Right? Except that if there are two or three individuals, each of whom is doing the whole damage, right? This gets us back to the other point. You're not going to pay triple damages, because it's not a penalty. It's damages. Damages can never be more than 100%. So if you have three people, each of whom is 100% responsible for damages, each one's still going to pay 33%, right? But is he going to pay 33% because of what I just described? Each one's liable 100%, but you know that you have to break it up in a reasonable way. Or are we going to say, well, there are three responsible parties, it's irrelevant that each one is responsible for 100%, or in a case where each one isn't responsible for 100%, but mibein shlashtam or mibein shneim, right, you have the 100%. So then instead of saying each one's 100, but it's going to pay 33.3, we'll say each one is responsible for 33, right? There can be a situation, in other words, where everybody's responsible fully. There can be a situation where the unit as a group integrated is responsible fully. And there can be a situation where there's a unit and therefore each one is responsible individually for the fraction. Let's just say it that way to make things easier. Three different scenarios, right? Now, you can well imagine that not all cases are the same. Because there are some cases where each one is responsible 100%. There are some cases where only as a unit together are they responsible 100%. And there are some cases where each one is a fraction responsible. So for example, in Bava Kamma, there's this massive topic. It's called Ileki Lashtalume Mihai Mishtalme Mihai, or not, Rav Nosson, we call it. You have a shore, and the shore knocks another shore into a bore. So you have a damaged partnership between a shore and a bore, or two shvarim, right? And the question is, so normally the rule is, there are two mazikim, 50-50. But what happens if one of the mazikim is patur, it belongs to Hektish? It's a man who doesn't have a bank account. It's a shore that is shel hefker. So what are you going to say then? Will we say, even though normally we'd pay 50-50, are you going to say, well, if there's no access, so it's 100% or not? So you can well imagine, it depends how you look at all this thing. If each one really is 100% liable, and the only reason we're splitting it up is because we have to split up the pie, then you should always say, everyone is 100%, so you can't get from one, get the 100% from the other one. If it's mibein shneihem, right? So then it's very tricky. Or if each one is responsible for a fraction, then they should never be able to go beyond their fraction. If it's the unit is responsible for the whole, that's tough. So does that mean that since the unit is responsible for all, each member of the unit is responsible for the whole by being part of the unit, or does that automatically break it up to 50%? Now, this is what gets played out in Bava Kamma. And now, let's think of the same thing when we talk about three dayanim. Right? And the truth is, Ksos and the Sivas debate this question about our case. Two dayanim said one thing, one dayan said the other, and it was a malpractice case. So the Ksos says, I don't understand why the Gemara's conclusion is that each one only pays a third, and the other third he loses. Why don't you say, Leke Lishtalume Mihai, Mishtalume Mihai? And we'll see in a moment, that's the Ksos and Nesivos discussion. But the truth is, if you ask me, I think the same question should be raised. If you have three Dayanim, and they all paskin wrong, let's say somebody doesn't have any money in their bank account to pay. He doesn't have the mere wherewithal to pay. Right? Again, is each Dayan a third of the vote? Or is each Dayan, by virtue of being part of the team, fully responsible? Are the Dayanim collectively as a collective responsible?
The unit is responsible.
So these get played out in these issues. So look here at the Ksos. Agav, there's another issue between the Ksos and the Sivas, which is totally connected, and that is, they had a vote. Three members of the Bezdin, right? A majority vote. The third guy does not want to stick around for this Psaktin. He's having enough trouble sleeping at night. He knows they made a mistake. It could be this case in particular, but in any case, he thinks they're wrong. He doesn't want to lend his name and his prestige and his conscience to this decision. He doesn't want to sign on. He doesn't want to be there. Does he have to be? This is another one of these issues, right? If it's the unit of Beis Din, if it's the consensus, the Rubik, if it's a Reb Chaim type of halacha, very, very probably he does. If it's three Dayanim, or really two Dayanim out of three Dayanim, maybe doesn't. So look very quickly, I just want to do this, and then I want to talk about Eniodea. Start by Eniodea. So the Ksos, the Hocho Achar Shnayim, see it everybody? The next piece here?
Nine,
right? Barash Sanhedrin, Pirish, Tashlishi Enu Mishalim Imayim, Dharma Ihava Atun Amrun Zakar. Fascinating, he quotes the Rush, because the Rush paskins the Gemara. He doesn't quote the interesting part of the Rush, where the Rush has these two other scenarios where it'll be different. But okay, because it's interesting, the Rambam never explicitly paskins like the Gemara. And it's an interesting lacuna. The Rambam does not weigh in on this case. Now, it's a case where two Dayanim overrule the third, and it turns out that they made a Tos B'Shikol Adas, and the Gemara seems to be saying pretty clearly, l'halacha, that each one will pay a third, and a third will be lost. That's what the Rush paskins based on the Gemara. The Or Zeruah paskins that way based on the Gemara. The Rambam omits that case. It's not explicit that he paskins that way. That's what comes out of the Gemara, but he may think that there are other Gemaras that contradict. He doesn't say one way or another. And the Rambam is usually, as we know, incredibly comprehensive. Okay. So that's, I think, why the Ksos is quoting the Rush for this. Rush Piresh, Tashlishi Eina Mishalim Imam Dharma Irav Atum Zakai, Dechein Eina Shnai Mishalim Chedek Kashlishi. He doesn't pay his third, they don't pay his third either. Dharma Irav At Badein Dina Lavami. The Eish Vazem Makomiyun, says the Ksos. The Fima, the Kaimalon Krab Nasan in Bavakama. The Hechid Aleki Lishalim Mimahai Mishalim Mihai. When there's more than one force, right, involved in a Nezek, and normally, because of that, we would split it up according to the number of forces. But if you cannot collect from one of them, right, then it shifts back over to the other one. Kumavur b'simin taf yud in Shulchan Aruch. Shor shadakaf kaveiro labor, dechein adam v'shor, sheziku yachad, dehechad alek v'shtalim mehai kagom, shehu pata benizko, mishtalim mehai. Vimkein hachanami hashnayim. Roy Sheshalma Ba'ad Hashlishi. How could you say that they don't? Right? If there are three, then they pay a third. But if there aren't three, let them. But it assumes that the paradigm is relevant. Namely, that there are, right? The kind of forces of each Dayan. It's like a self-sufficient mazik. The natik l'fadena makor din rab nasa. Misham yizbarim dina dahai doma l'zeh olo. Ksos knows what he's doing. Right? He says, oh, let's investigate, see what this halacha is based on, and then we'll see whether it's relevant or not. Okay. Skip down to, I don't want to read the whole thing. Skip down to four lines before the end of that paragraph, which is line 21. Behelu Tosfos Sham, Kahai Lishna de Kula Zeka Avad. There's a discussion above a comma, what really is going on in that case. And is it really considered that each one, the shor, alone is a mazik, the boar alone is a mazik, but of course you're not going to charge them double, so each one pays half, but therefore if you don't have access, then each one goes back to being fully liable. Okay? Now go two lines below that, to line 23. Imkein hachanami ne mahachi, the haikula hezek avid, the haikula hezek avid. The ksos is weighing the possibility that each dayan, because he's a member of the team, it's as if each dayan did the whole thing. Not each dayan did a third of the damage. Not mibein shloshtam, between the three there was finally 100% damage. Each dayan did 100% damage here. Then you should say like the shtalume, but that's a different model. Okay, good, good. Fine. The imkain, I want to skip to the two lines before the end of that one. Let's go to line 31. He continues with his analysis according to the Amshel Shlomo. Imkain nicha hakanami benidan nidan the kimlan de ilav ashlishi lo av migmar dina bishnayim velo av de kula zeka. First he thought each dayan was 100% responsible. Now he's saying the three as a unit are responsible, right? And therefore, it's not each one. Therefore, there's no din v'ilekei l'shtalume. Now I'm in line 33. Maybe it's really wrong. Maybe every time, you know, there are multiple factors in a nezek, legally each one is fully 100% responsible. Right? And if that's the case, then we should say the same thing by Vim Kane. This is the last words on line 36. Hadakusha Leduchten, the Khan Nami Shaykh Dina de Rab Nassan. The Khain Mashim Devri Asma. Oh. Skip to the next page. The Oda Phil Das Agoy Sash Amaimuni Umarshal Nami Kashev. That's line one. Vim Kane, Hachanami. Line 3, the end of 3. Lefanenu kol gemara hezek nasa al pishnayim elu. He's saying, really, the hezek was done by the two. Sha'omu yishpenu atachai, v'ashlishi enu ele kemo kol akore. The achasha nigmar din b'neim, l'chai v'afilu nistale kashlishi. This is a key line. He's saying, now really I'm thinking that the two are the only ones who did the damage. The haraya, in my opinion, let's say the third guy says, I can't stomach being at this Saturday. I think it's wrong, and I don't want to be there. The Ksos thinks that's okay. It seems like it's 2 days in the Rishalmi, whether the third guy has to be there and sign on or not. The Ksos thinks it's fine, he doesn't need to be. So he says, Yecholim Ashnayim Ligmar Din. Vim Ken Kol Gemara Hezek Nim Tzabahanach Shnayim. The cave lamatzasi yishav nachon lekushazu. That I really don't understand why each one should only pay a third. They are the two mazikim. They're responsible for the total nezek. They should pay each one 50%, like a shor and a boar.
I'm not quite a shor and a boar.
What?
Well, if the shor separately could have done the damage, or the boar, but not each dayan separately could have made a psak. It's not exactly.
Very good. But he's saying the two, as opposed to the third, are making the psak, because they're the ones who are the majority. They're the ones we want to pay the 100%, 50-50. So look now at the Nesivos. Nesivos says this is wrong. He says both things are wrong. And because, right? He starts off, Nesivos HaMishpat. B'sefer Ksos HaChoshen Hiksha, that's line one. there, right? What is it? Line 8. Lo didi lo kasha midi. Because I'm not bothered by this. Da adraba rama pasak bukum diskem. Number one, I think he's wrong about the sugya. More importantly, umasha kasav. This is line 11. Okay, everybody have it? In the middle. Masha kasav de kan nigmar al yidei shnayim. His characterization of what goes on in a bezdin when there's a majority ruling, that the major, that the ruling is done by the two, even to hayucholim legomra below shlishi, because they could pat, they finish their din in the absence even of the third. Lo yadana. I don't know where he got that from. So mikomakom nikmar din al yidei kulam. The psak din is by all three. So kulam omrim omru rather. All three have to say. V'gabo chakti la'el, de kulam tricham li'os b'sham b'shas gmar din. What do you have? A double machlokes between the ksos and the nesivos, about two different points. Does the third dissenting dayan, does he have to be present at the gmar din? A. B. Are the two, the majority, the ones responsible fully? Are they the gomrim? Or are all three the gomrim? That's the same argument, basically. Right? So once again, we have an expression of this fundamental question about how the Torah works. Now, I do think there's one possible wrinkle here, and that is, when we speak about how the Torah works when it works properly, does that also dictate how a din Torah works, or how the liability is spread when there are mistakes? I think that's an interesting question. But of course, again, since the mistake here isn't Tos B'Dvar Mishnah, you know, it's not a mistake in which the psak is overturned. We don't say, oh, the psak is, like, you know, the whole thing is a mistake. It's a liability. So I think that's an interesting question. Yeah?
So it's basically saying that there's a machlokas between the Gemara and Bava Kamma and in Sanhedrin?
No. He's saying... Oh, I guess implicitly he's maybe saying that. Meaning he's saying, in light of my analysis in Bava Kamma, I don't understand why Dayanim, in this case, don't fit into Ilek Lishtalun Mimiha. And the Nesivos is saying, because they're totally different.
So this could come to a post, the Shiva
I hear.
I don't know, but in the case of Abnasim, by the Shor and the Boar, the Shor doesn't do any damage by himself. Sure. Had there not been a boar, nothing would happen.
And if not for the shore, then the boar wouldn't do anything.
No, but the boar, the one that created the hazard to the shore.
Well, I'm saying that's what he's... I don't want to go into the whole sugya, but that's what he's discussing.
Yeah, but he says, like, each one is responsible. I mean, for
right.
The...
Right, it wouldn't happen without either, without both.
Okay, that's true, but...
So then the question is that another way of apportioning that each one is... half responsible, equally responsible, as a unit they're responsible. That those are the different formulations, and you see how these, we're not playing word games. These are huge nafkaminas.
But we just learned that when it comes to the psak, all three dayanim have to be there. Even though one is in dissent. I remember Rabbi Shaka telling me many years ago, when he's asked to join a bezdin, he's very careful to find out who are the other two dayanim. For that reason, because he finds out that their views are clearly different from his, he's going to have to sit down with the others and give a psak in all three. He doesn't want to be part of that.
Right. Well, isn't that really what the Gemara is saying?
Yeah.
The Gemara said that the two turn to the third and they say, listen, if you didn't sit with us, we wouldn't have a bezdin. So in some respects, by sitting with us, you implicitly endorse, you know, what we've done. That's clear, 100%.
Yeah. How does that excuse work? If it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't have sat. But
right.
That really doesn't answer the complaint of.
Well, he's not paying either way.
In other words, he doesn't have to pay.
Right.
So how does this answer the complaint?
It's only to reduce their line. What they're really. So this is what I was saying with the rush. Is that more of like a narrower tina? Listen, there is a little element. You know, in which we're not, you may not be responsible, but we're not 100% responsible either, because alone we couldn't have done this in Torah. In which case, in cases where alone they could, like with our five dayanim, or one of them is Yochid Mumcha, you're not going to have that taina. Or, I prefer against the rush to think that what they're really saying, what he's really saying is, listen, you can't pay the liability because you couldn't have done more than you tried to do. You were screaming at us, you were yelling at us, you were trying to convince us, we didn't listen. Fine. But in the end of the day, it's still Bein Shlashtenu that this psak, as a unit, because that's the way a Beis Din works. So in the end of the day, we're still only responsible for 2/3 of the psak. So it isn't really, you understand what I'm saying? These are two...
There's really the debate that you have whether you look at damages from the perspective of the one who's damaged or the one who caused the damage. I mean,
that's an interesting point too.
I mean, especially in criminal law.
But the truth is that's relevant to the Sugya of Rav Nosson and the Leik Elishtalum Mimihai, Nishtalum Mimihai too. In the Sugya of Bava Kama. 100%.
I have a Bava Kama question. How does an Av, Arba Avot and Zikin, like a shore, able to flop off some of his liability onto a boar?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I mean, as one of the Arba Avot and Zikin, doesn't he stand liable in and of itself as an Av?
Well, kind of that's what Rav Nosson is saying, I mean, in a way.
Yeah, but when you have a combination...
But in fact, there's a combination. In other words, a classical case of a boar is you have a boar, you know, whoever dug the boar or owns the boar, you know, should have, you know, provided some sort of a protection, didn't. Somebody, betmimus, somebody's animal, betmimus libo, walked in there, and you're chayiv, end of story. A shore is typically is a case where... You know, whatever it was, the shore did damage, nothing to do with the boar, whatever. But, I mean, just in real life, I love theory, but in real life, what happened if the shore smashed into something and knocked it into a boar? I mean, if it wasn't for the boar, what the shore did wouldn't have been consequential. If it wasn't for the shore... Then per se, the animal wouldn't have walked into, or the person wouldn't have walked into the boar. So it really is a situation where there was an anomalous situation. We know that a shore alone can do damage. We know a boar alone can do damage. In this particular case, the boar alone didn't do the damage. The shore alone didn't do the damage, but it was a toxic combination. And the question is, how do we now proceed?
But I could see the answer being that each is individually liable for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what Rav Nosson is saying. But you're not going to pay double. Why not? Because it's not a knas, it's damages. Meaning it's the problem is this fellow...
Yeah, it's like before you said each individual shofet might be 100% responsible.
Right.
The real world...
But that doesn't mean they'll pay triple.
It doesn't.
No. You'll never pay.
The responsibility is at 100%, but in actuality.
The difference, the only difference is if the other fellow can't pay, if the other partner can't pay, then you're going to say, Leik Elishtaloma Mishtaloma Mihai. Yeah. But if we're not dealing with knossos, you're never going to pay more than the damages. Because there's a loss beyond that. That's what I was answering about to the question before also. In other words, when you say Chozer Adin, you know, so then when
yeah,
you know, you're. What's that?
It's not being fair.
Right. I mean, there's no reason to. We're not trying. if it was a knas, you know, that would be a different matter. That's what a knas is. It's a punishment. This isn't a punishment. This is damages.
You don't have.
Right. Exactly. So you never need to go more than 100%. The question is, when you're spreading the liability, you know, and you're limiting, you're capping it at 100%. Is that because we really view it? That each person is only responsible for his fraction, or is it that, you know, we're capping it at 100%, but each person is responsible for more? So that's where you get to a point where, you know, there are just many more assets available if somebody else can't pay. But if really the point was there were three contributory factors here, and therefore each one is only a third, not liable in the money, a third responsible in the damages, then if he can't pay, it's not my problem. Right?
Yeah,
so that's exactly what these... So what we're trying to say is there a difference between a shor and a bor? What about two shvarim? Right? And what about three dayanim? Or what about numerous other cases? Because they're all parallel, what I like to say, they're parallel cases. That doesn't mean they're not the same. We have to assess legally whether they're the same. It's a similar kind of an issue.
But the arthritis is the same.
Well, the... Yeah, but because the contributory factors may be different, so there'll be cases where some nebuch, you know, you won't get the full amount of damages in some cases. Yeah, some kind of question.
Because the Gemara refers that the Torah's b'shikol das is nezek, right? Is mazik?
No, but it's not a knas. I mean,
right? I understand, right. But the question is, can you differentiate between that and the level of nezek of the toast in terms of her?
I think here the difference is between knossos and... I mean, the idea that it's capped at 100%, that seems clear in our Gemara.
It doesn't mean that's a shame nezek.
Right, I think, but a more fruitful distinction is the ones that Ksos is kind of analyzing and the deceivers is saying, you know, I think you had the right idea, but you should go back to that, which is, you know, is it the unit as a unit? Is it, you know, is it each one as an individual? You know, it's those kind. It's how does Dionys work? How does the units work? I think that's a more fruitful distinction. Yeah.
Well, why can't the Baal Din say, "Look, you are telling me you aren't liable by yourself. It's a combination of co-joint action." But the Baal Din doesn't have to go into that cheshbon. He can say, "I'm holding you liable." And
what do you mean I'm holding you liable?
He can point to the shore, the Baal HaShor, and say, "You are liable to me for 100%.
He can say what he wants, but the question is whether legally it's true.
But he has good basis.
Why?
Because if
not for the board, there wouldn't have been damages.
Yeah, but that's not his problem. His problem is...
Well, if it's not... If legally... I mean, we're trying to assess al pidin, al pi halacha, who is responsible for this loss.
But maybe the Baal HaShor can then... He may look to the Baal HaBor and say, you owe me.
Right.
You owe me, and the two of us are jointly liable. But as far as the Baal Din goes... He can point to one of them and say, "You are the market."
Right, but he's not the lawyer or the judge here. I mean, if somebody comes to your court, right, and they're very adamant and they say, "You know, I don't care about the law. I'm holding you responsible." You'll just look at them and say,
"No, he,
what world are you living in? The law determines who, right?"
No, not really. He doesn't have to do the whole shock and taria. Has to do it.
He has a loss, but the legality. But there were two contributing factors to his loss, and it's the law, meaning the halakha in this case, that determines how that balance really works. Whether it's a joint mazik, whether it's two different mazikim, but you never go beyond the 100%. Whether it's each one is a backup of the other. I mean, those are legal questions. They're not questions that the Baldover has a right to...
Now, when a chain of cars hits someone stopped at a light because of an ice, he doesn't go through... If 20 cars are lined up, the one who was injured doesn't have to go through 20 cars. He points to the guy behind...
Because maybe American law...
And he says, you
right,
owe me.
Because American law may believe that is sufficient. But if it didn't... We can all conceive that there could be legal systems which will say that's not true. There are 20 factors. Right. I'm saying, so we're trying to figure out what does Jewish law say about these cases. Anyways, we were going to do any Odeya, but we didn't get to it. So next week I want to discuss, that's it for this part of the topic. I want to discuss Hey Omid Beis, which is also Yud Zayin Kaf Tes, the topic of a Dayan who says Eini Odeya Mosif and Dayanim, and why that is worse than being overridden by a majority rule, how that connects to the topic that we are doing, and how it connects to another topic about how debate furthers clarification of judicial issues. Okay.